Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'll start the show with a song. Knew you. That's a song that's being offered by Dwayne Hoepner. Dwayne, the great writer, founder of the new presentation, and wonderful worldwide educators. It's a song that is said to be the real connection to the real universes. If a person wants to connect with real guides, to get some real guidance and a real education, can test it for yourself by singing it for like 15 minutes before you go to sleep each night, and 15 minutes when you wake up in the morning. See what life shows you. Today I'll read a little bit more of one of the new books by Dwayne, the great writer of the Adventurist series. This is new book 3, The Real Far Country. And these new books are available at lulu.com. Or if you get a hold of Kelsey Lynn Brown on Facebook or YouTube, you can get PDFs of them. When war breaks out, many men are ready to die for their country. By this, their space sense somewhat increases, and yet the space-time sense does not increase sufficiently because the people of other countries may remain as their enemies. Those who live for the whole world by loving life's creatures are the wisest. This is when the space-time sense is perfect and whole. These people have overcome the lesser view. They enjoy the fullness of full space sense. Those who are selfish must die for their country in order to develop their nothingness sense. The real universal guides are unselfish and wise and live for the good of all life's creatures. When man has developed true wisdom, he has developed a full nothingness sense. The will to wisdom is of a greater value to humanity than the will to a power of the aggressive man. This nothingness sense depends on the system of reference used in the nature of the coordinates. Each person decides their own sense. If we, who have traveled in the unseen worlds, gave this information openly, we would be damned and excluded. Some of the real universal guides have possession of secret information which is terrible in its aspects to the material mankind because of the limited awareness of humans. Only the real guides know and hold such knowledge because they are safe with it. The real guides must remain almost silent in this world. The reason being that whenever we speak, our words are greeted with wild shouts and screams from the orthodox religions and their followers. The old outdated metaphysical systems, such as Buddhism and Catholicism, begin to shake at their foundations. The priests and gurus of all teachings flaunt and taught and jeer when the real guides are around. They are not interested in a real unity in the sense of what is real. All religious, along with philosophical systems and cosmogonies, have been created to explain the obvious teachings of life and other things. But they have truly failed, as I have explained in the No Thing universes, compared to the invention of something realms. This is where it is a matter of personal and real experience, which provides the real answer for us and the realization of what is real now. The way to the unseen worlds is through the no-thing reality for all human beings. They have to cross a land of nothingness in order to get into the first level, the astral region. In this region of nothingness, the superphysical regions are the sun worlds, moon worlds, and lightning worlds. These worlds lie between this physical level and the astral region. They are merely sublevels, well described by the Vedas and later the Vedantists, who took those scriptures seriously enough to consider them as some of the superior worlds. They are not really very high, but they are worlds of nothingness, which we must journey across to reach the first pure plane of the astral region. Let me explain how the real you moves in its upward journey. It leaves the body through the 10th door, third eye, the subtle body. At first, we look out through this door, and eventually we go through it and leave the body completely. We then step out into a new world which we have never seen before. This new world will probably be some subplane of the astral zone, but it becomes a new and exciting dimension for us. There is, in this greater astral realm, an almost endless series of sets of dimensions, one above the other, like the three-dimensional world in which we live, reaching up to the higher worlds. Each set or level is separated one from the other, just above it, by the difference in substances and the fineness or coarseness of a particle level and the different rates of vibration. These differences make up one set of dimensions invisible to people living in another set. The eyes of people have a limited range of vision, making it impossible for them to see a region much above or below their own to which they have become adapted to and think of all there is to life. There are those who can see into some of the different layers. This is the reason one cannot see the astral world through the physical eyes. With the astral eyes, we can see on that level just as well as we can see on the physical level with the physical eyes. And it is the same with the still higher worlds. With each higher world or set of dimensions, the light and the beauty increases continually. also the happiness of the inhabitants. At the sublime moment when the real you steps out into the higher world, you begin to realize that you have acquired a vast increase of awareness as well as joy. It appears to you that you can do almost anything you wish. Not only have you increased your awareness, but your knowledge and understanding have expanded so much more so. When this occurs, the whole material realm appears as an open book, and all the dark mysteries of it have vanished. You find yourself in possession of all the knowledge of the lower world. You then know that you have gained a real attainment over them. From here on up, each world gained gives one complete knowledge, wisdom, and awareness over the worlds below. The real you is now free to proceed on your way to even higher regions. You may not allow yourself to be unduly detained in order to enjoy the new world you have entered. You must move always upward, for there will be no ending of the worlds and universes you will be in. Between the physical and pure astral levels, there are many sub-realms. The sun worlds come first, then the moon worlds, then numerous sub-levels, and finally the lightning world. This corresponds to the level of Sahasra Dal Kanwal, as it is known to the real guides in the astral region. This place is so full of light and far more beautiful than this world of the earth. It is the region which is commonly considered by many yogis as their supreme heaven. This is as high as they are able to journey as a rule, because of their agreement to this area. The lord of this region is regarded as the supreme being, but is only the Kal, or Brahm. The real guides know him as Kal, while the Hindus think of him as Brahm. He is regarded as the supreme being by nearly all religions, because they know nothing of the higher levels. Only the real universal guides know of the upper levels and the lords on each world and realm. At a point between the sun worlds and the moon worlds and the pure astral zone, the real you enters an area called Sahasra Dal Kanwal. At this point, something happens which changes the whole course of your life and also your method of procedure. It is the meeting with your own experienced real guide in his radiant form. He is your new friend, appearing as he does in his physical life, except that his body is now much more beautiful and full of light, brilliantly illuminated. The teacher receives his student with a cordial welcome, and from that moment on, the two are never separated throughout the upward journey to still higher regions, until the student reaches the seventh level, the first real universe of the sound light reality. By this time, he is experienced enough and can travel upon his own. We will pause here and take a visit into the not too distant future to see Jot Niranjan, the brother of the Kalam god. He is the ruler of the astral realm and a rather nicer God than Callum himself. Use the new sound and let's go, said RT, as we did. I could feel and see all of us shoot above the terrain and then into the sky. The sun overhead was a brilliant light, and RT led us right into it. We ended up in a cloud-like setting that bordered where we came in at. And from that, we entered a serene area that had a vibrant green grassy walkway that went on for miles. At the end of it was a huge mountain of light in the distance. The mountain was spewing with all sorts of coloration all about it. It is a tremendous sight to see. The multicolored lights went high into the sky and then disappeared into the others. I wondered what time frame Rebazaar had brought us into. I was so confused about what time I was in. He smiled at me and seemed to know what I was viewing. The great mountain of light of the first space god. He has a very comfortable place here, and he is not as agitated as the cow god himself. Jotnaranjan knows that his big brother has the responsibility of all the three lower levels, and also the burden of knowing that he will return one day just like all other humans that have went through all the cycles of rebirth, Rebazaar said, as we hovered along the beautiful path where there was such wondrous vegetation all about us. I always like coming here, I said. This place is the perfect garden of heavenliness. Before the humans that occupied the earth created their creature lifestyle on the hard rockiness and the nothingness of dark space, they were here in this wonderful astral level, learning about the real universes. But there were those that wanted more than they could handle. So as decisions were made and events took place, they began to unconsciously form a lower system to abide in because of their continued arrogance. Eventually, without notice, they were flung into the dark gloom of a solid material existence by the righteous ruler, Cal, who rejoiced and the fact that he had now had unaware slaves that would do his bidding and grovel to him for forgiveness of what they had done. Their personal awareness was now so low and shadowed that they forgot about the is and subjected themselves to Governor Cal as their connection for relief. Of course, he promised the people of Earth that he would give them whatever they wanted, but that was eons ago, and so many of these same people still look to his royal yawn today. So many others became the victims of the situation and were sucked downward also. The two of you were some of the ones that tried to talk some sense into the unruly one. And in the confusion, you were drawn into the turmoil and grouped with them, into the unconsciousness of a physical form. This is why I emphasize the real light of being isness, as opposed to emotional attachment, which most humans are into. Good and bad do not apply with the is, only what is real does, said RT as we continue. 116. Oh, wow, that is scary, sir. I have always had the feeling that I do not belong on the earth, and now I know why, I said as I looked at all the marvelous beauty. You have always known it, Dwayne. You simply forgot about it. Shish told you in your previous life as Goldie, the Indian, when you were with her on the seventh level, said Rebazar as he winked. I considered. I continued to look at all the surroundings and the beautiful landscaping. This place always fascinated me. From time to time, I would see some cute little animals that looked like rabbits and squirrels moving through the lush greenery. Overhead, there were very large birds that looked like eagles, only twice the size. They flew back and forth across the gigantic clear sky and sometimes way up towards the sun and then swiftly back down again. The entire scene was so unreal and breathtaking. So surreal and breathtaking. It is easy to see why the people of the great earth would want this to be their heaven, because of their hard lifestyle that takes place on all the rock planets. The great sun in the sky reminded me of the is, and how it represented, and how it is represented on every level and in the many dimensions of the astral worlds. We are here at the Governor God Castle, said RT. We stood in front of the castle entrance where there were guards, just like at the Cow Castle. But these guys looked a lot friendlier and were not dressed in battle fatigue. They were in very casual wear and actually greeted us with a slight bow. They opened the giant doors for us, and we entered the long, highly lit hallway to the main room. There were all sorts of paintings on the walls that were mainly of scenes from the beach and ocean waves with blue skies as the backdrop. I couldn't recall what was on the walls from the other times I had been here, as these were fine. Did he decorate here, Rebazar? I asked. Believe it or not, Jot has learned a lot from all the visits we have had with him, and he likes your viewpoints about the ocean and surfing. He puts these pictures up for you, said RT. I love great art, and these paintings are very exceptional. I know that the people here do not have the same 9-to-5 boring routine that humans have, and so they have plenty of time to dedicate themselves to becoming masters of their creative natures. This is great, I said, as we stopped and looked for a moment at the masterful artworks along the hallway. We will meet some of the artists in the make-believe ballroom of the Lord Jot, said RT, as we finally entered the huge area of the astral god, which was all open to the sky above. He has changed a lot of things around here, I said. All the red curtains are gone. I really like the translucent blue and light yellows he has chosen. Then, from behind the curtains at the sides of the huge room, beautiful creatures came out to greet us. There were as many as 200, would be my guess. They came up to us and started introducing themselves. Paul and RT were busy with many of them, and I spotted a beautiful tall blonde that looked right at me. She came over to me, and I came right up to her. She was gorgeous and fully voluptuous in her made-to-form, white diamond-studded dress. I was mesmerized and just stared at her as she spoke. Hello, Dwayne, she said with the most lovely voice that was so uniquely beautiful that even the higher sounds off the upper levels did not compare. That was my observation. I had to laugh because I felt so inspired and giggly happy in this very moment and asked, you know my name, miss? Of course I do. So many of the inhabitants of this level know you, We have known you and Paul since you both took the rod of power, she said with her loveliness, as she moved a bit from side to side. Wait a moment. I am a little confused here. I am in the past with Paul, and he hasn't taken the rod of power yet, I said, looking straight at her. He is seemingly in the past, and you are in the nowness with us here. You have already had the real position once, and it will soon be coming for you again, she said with her authentic charm. I have heard that story, but I find it hard to accept with my physical condition as it is, I said as I continued to look deeply into her. Ha ha, you are funny, Duane. As usual, you cannot see yourself. Why do you think that Rebazar is taking you through all of this? Do you see him training anyone else? You are the exceptional one that will lead the entire world into a realization of the is, like never before, she said with the sweetest voice. I was taken back for a moment and looked up at the sky and then said to her, it is hard for me to accept the big picture right now. I can see the possibility, but things on Earth are not that good for me right now. When I am away from that place, I am fine, but I always have to go back and deal with it. Your friend, Miss Kathy, keeps telling you that your life will work out, and it will. The real guides are putting together a tremendous amount of attention of creativity just for you, she said as she smiled. I hesitated and then asked, what is your name? Ha ha, you are cute. My name is Charlou, she said as she smiled and giggled. This girl seemed to know a lot, and probably a lot more than she was telling me. Do you know Shish Harayu? I asked. I have heard of her from the real guides. She is on the seventh level, and she is your true love from the is, she said. Do you have a sister on the earth, Charlou? I asked. Then she really laughed rather strangely. I know that you want someone like Heather used to be with you. But now she is more into her family and forgotten the real guides and their purpose and yours. She is just another earth woman that wants her personal comforts and is no longer interested in the real adventure of living the way you are. Your time is coming and you will have many new friends. Your life will never be dull. You will make sure of that, she said as she laughed. You said you saw me when I had the real position and then stepped back when the big wave hit me. What else can you see? Can you tell me? I asked, actually hoping she would tell me more. Yes, I can tell you more, Duane. Many of us here saw what you went through. We also saw how so many criminals from the lower astral levels misused your position and impersonated you when you were heavily attacked by Crony and her devilish followers. She gave the orders to plague the lower astral areas and the earth with the idea that you were the imposter and her drugged husband, Gerald, had the real position. We saw you fall back down to her levels and watched as she tortured you for all those years. It took a lot of people to help bring you back, and it was all possible because you have the strongest will like so many of the great beings of the All Is, the true silent ones, and the creative and the greatest of creative talents. You and Paul are in our history books as the golden warriors that have saved so many of us from the Cal God and his tyranny, she said with her rhapsodized voice that was like music to my ears. This is really great. I'm so glad to know you. On Earth, I am basically all alone, and I feel lost so much of the time because not even all the people that I taught for years understand what I am presenting and for what purpose. They are all so interested in their personal lives and the formulas of just human living. Without this real adventure I am living, I do not want to live. I really love all people, but not to just live a standard life and that's it, I said. You are far from standard, Dwayne. You will see. Everything will change into your greatest adventure. There is a lot coming for you, but you must learn to live now, because it is only in the nowness that everything you want will become so. Look there, and I will see you again, she said as she pointed to the big curtain behind the throne of Jot Naranjan. The astral god came out to greet his audience. He slowly walked around his giant chair and then sat down and looked around the entire room at everyone. He actually smiled at everyone. I could tell that he no longer had the same appearance as the last time I saw him. He actually looked rather handsome and composed. Then he spoke. I greet you one and all. It is so good to see each and every one of you. We have very special guests with us today. Rebazar Tars, the great universal guide from the All Is, and his two friends, Paul and Dwayne, said Jot Naranjan as he nodded to us. Rebazar, Paul, and I approached and then nodded at his presence. Our world knows of these very special beings and what they have done and are doing for all of mankind and all those on all the levels of the All Is. I have learned a lot since our first meetings many hundreds of years ago when Rebazar Tars was brought before me with his guides. I have seen so many people pass my way and watched as they so believed that I was their savior god. For the longest time, I have been caught up in what my godly brother has decided. I have to admit that I am the test for those who want to go further in life. And so they must get by me or they will go back into future lifetimes of unawareness. Just like the real guides tell us, it is always now, and the is can only be new. And so I am grateful to know that there is so much more than just me sitting here and judging the unaware. The Earth world is so very fortunate to have Rebazar Tars and the real universal guides with them, said the astral god as the entire audience cheered. And a special thanks to Mr. Paul Twitchell, who started everything into motion in 1965. I know that my brother Callum would shake those mountains if he knew all about all of this event right now, he said. Then he laughed out loud, and so did everyone else. Fortunately, the real guides put up a shield around us that nothing can penetrate, so he is seeing what the real guides want him to see. And for you, Mr. Dwayne, you have survived the most incredible journey to the top of life, and then to the very bottom of the most hellish areas known. All the harassment and torture you have taken, even from those you taught for years, and almost dying and wanting to die, and willing to come back into future lifetimes, even though you know it will be worse, just to continually present what your heart knows is real. What can I say? In your heart, you really want absolutely nothing, but to love the is and share what is real. You are willing to risk your life so that others can have the chance to be free from all the illusions that they have made for themselves in their lives. Sir, I stand now and bow to you. You are the only one that has come back even stronger and taken on the real position for the second time. You are incredibly brave because you know that the Earth world does not want you and what you are presenting, but you will do it anyway. I know your heart. I see your vision. You will change the history of mankind, and will they thank you for the great gift you will bring them? We shall see. Thank you so much for coming, said Jot Naranjan, as he reached out his hand and shook mine, then Paul's and Rebazar's. With that, Rebazar turned and walked through the people as they applauded. I was beside myself. I felt like Flash Gordon when he was in front of Emperor Ming. I was very amazed at what the astral god said. He really had changed a lot since my first meetings with him. I began to think that maybe the stubborn people of Earth will listen and become more aware. As we walked back down the hallway and then to the outside, we were suddenly back at Rebazar's place. Then I realized I forgot to say goodbye to Charlou. Oh boy, would I sure like to meet her sister on Earth, and maybe I will someday. Rebazar laughed and said, you will have plenty of time for everything. Now let us finish this day. Now you can see that the lords of this earth world, Jot and Cal, are almost on the human level. They are the gods of the realms of time and space. They control the elements that make up the illusion of time and the appearance of space. Looking at human history, you can see that what is basically taught to the masses is nothing at all that pertains to the real universes, but only that which pertains to invented ideas for a social upbringing. It is this lord of abstraction that has influenced the social behavior of what is taking place in this world today. Many think it is the way life is. No, the earth is a place in life, and not life actually is. Mankind is acting out of performance for his gods and not fully realizing the potential of his perception with what is taking place. He has become agreeable to an unconsciousness that appears to be valid, but is actually a trick from the greatest trickster of all. Through this decided agreement of inventing a god of fallacy, mankind has trapped his real awareness into the drama of fools. Callum is the space god the religions worship and seem to look for in the skies. He is the god over the worlds of nothingness. Complete nothingness. Man has personalized his god and made him the protector of his household, life and controller of his events from an unconscious level, and so remains unconscious. He doesn't realize when he prays to a space god of the nature I speak of, he's praying to a nothingness to create for him something or bring about changes in his affairs. This totally incorrect idea is recognized by very few and holds one back from getting beyond into the worlds above this level. All the systems on the earth deny what they themselves proclaim. They may have a heaven after death, but where? It only makes sense that all that is and will ever be is here and now. Life cannot be any other way, yet all the earthly systems state what it is, and only they know why. Of course, they really cannot tell a truth here because they do not know, even though they coax people into believing that they do. It is for sure that no one can get something out of nothing, and space doesn't exist for anyone or anything else. This is the God people look to destroy their fellow man in the name of a cause that goes nowhere. Watch all about both of you. I will take you to where there is something made from nothing, said Rebazar, as the entire scene once again changed and we were somewhere but where. I slowly looked about, and for a time all I could see was a foggy mist about as though it was rising from the ground. Everything was foggy and gray, just like a scene from one of those Dracula movies, where you knew he or someone he knows was going to come from the darkness beyond. I looked at Rebazar and Paul, and they looked at me. Then Rebazar motioned for us to follow him. We walked through the thick, foggy nature of this unknown dimension, and I could sense that there was an eeriness to it. I wasn't afraid, but simply very aware of the surroundings and what else there could be that could take place here. Rebazar looked back at me as he headed us along and smiled. We are coming into another dimension from this one, as there are many various positions here that not even the inhabitants can see or perceive. We are entering one of the grossly encumbered areas of the belief system, and one of the many places they have secured their tap lines to with their followers, he said as I stayed close to Paul and him. As we moved along, the fog began to separate, and I could see the kind of slurry ground under our feet. Then the fog began to rise into the air and float above us like a layer of low overcast of the ocean. I have made the fog rise so the two of you can see this firsthand. It is not enough that the contrived authoritarian systems get their worshiping followers to bow to their needs. They also want to make sure that they are their prisoners for many lifetimes to come. And so what you will see now is how they procure others to their will, said Rebazar, as the surrounding area we entered began to appear to us. I could see multitudes of slimy and gnarly people who were mainly hunched over and walking about from one place to another and not really going anywhere. They had tap lines running from their backs as they drug them along like long attached vines. What you are seeing is the gross implants from the authoritarians and the gods of men. These people have accepted the gifts of their rulers, and their rulers have tap-lined them into slavery. These are the millions upon billions of lost souls who cling to their idealistic beliefs, and most of these people have been here for lifetimes. This is the hidden area of the controllers that is never revealed. Just like the slave camps on Earth where there are hundreds of low-paid workers who produce for many of the manufacturers of industrial countries. This is where the awareness of each of these souls is. Even though their surface body may be in a particular area of the Earth and seem to be okay, look over there at those who are standing above the masses here. They are the ones who are providing the front to blind all these people into submission. Their souls are here also, even though they may be finely dressed and live in their castles upon the surface of the earth. They are also locked into this realm of gloom because of their karmic ties. It all entails cause and effect, said Rebazar. I watched as the controllers made sure the people kept moving about, as though they were giving their slaves the impression they were getting somewhere or accomplishing something. It was all such a scary scene of something out of a fantastic horror movie, but for those lost souls, it was all too real. It was my impression that it was all a ploy to keep these people subdued and thinking they were going to be rewarded for having served their masters. Rebozar said most who were here had already been through lifetimes of intimidation and torture to be heavily conditioned so they would continually endure their environment here. I know this is very extreme for anyone to see, but it must be so. There is far more going on with the authoritarian systems than meets the physical eyes. Even with their own human history, they have more than proven themselves to be the worst brutalitarians and destroyers. As you see here, they have broken the will of each of these souls to where they have no idea where there even exists anything anymore. Many of these people have fought lifetimes of battles and been killed and have killed others. So their fate is set until they learn to do something better for themselves. Here is where the real courage for a person comes in to break the old cycles and to take a risk to find out what else life is about. What we are seeing here is the worst of circumstances, but even the nicer paths on the earth are many times burdened with tap lines. Because most masters and gurus do not have any access to the real universes, said Rebozar. In my wildest dreams, I could not have imagined this place. It is far worse than I even can describe. All I could see was a virtual endlessness of yucky colored swamp-like existence for these people here. All of this was extreme cruelty, but those who watched over these unaware souls did not seem to have a care about the welfare of any of them. It was all a driving force to direct the energy of the many into a single purpose of self-accomplishment and takeover. All of this was no different than the pharaohs with their thousands of slaves who did all the building of their glorious pyramids and built stone idols for their slaves to haul around and place somewhere. After a while, Rebozar motioned for us to turn and leave. We will now go through some of the other layers and dimensions these same people have to deal with, because there is a lot of emotional attachment and mental imagery to all they are going through, he said. As Rebozar led the way, we began to gradually enter other dimensions that were similar. Rebozar was showing us the many unseen layers a person can carry with them for untold lifetimes because of how creative each one of us is. What I was seeing is what is not seen or experienced with the human senses, because most people are not sensitive to all the other parts of themselves. As a person imagines scenes within themselves, they are actually tuning into other worlds they have been created by them or others. We each can do this because our real awareness has no limits except for the limitations set by the mind, along with what each person decides and agrees to as their own reality while in a human body. Here is where the real razor's edge comes in, and that is, most people will become involved with the dualistic forces, which are the opposites that all of us experience while on Earth, which we mainly refer to as nature. These lower forces have their place and should be understood for what they are, and not misjudged for what they are not. Things like magic and manipulation of these forces becomes a karmic debt to the user because the dualistic forces deal with cause and effect and are part of the lower systems and realms with the lords of karma. It is all a fine line to use these forces in the lower realms or not. Thus, the idea of the razor's edge is real. The real guides do not use the dualistic forces unless there is a lesson to be learned, or they decide to take on the karma of a person to help offset some karmic baggage. Those who become heavily involved with the lower forces will have a long road to travel to get themselves above the drudgery of reincarnation. As Paul and I were moving through the apparition of layers, I was perceptive to what was taking place and why I was being shown these areas. I knew that this was a matter of trust that I was here. And Rebazaar only took certain people to this place and all the other areas I have experienced with him. The real guides always take a chance on a person to see what they will do with the knowledge they impart. This is where a person can decide to go with the power aspect of the lower worlds and stay unaware of reality, or ascend higher with their real awareness into the real universes. So each person must make the choice. And if they choose to be a white or black magician, then they will have to deal with the lords of karma at the end of each lifetime. It is so much better to stand in the real light with the all is and listen to the real guidance from the real guide. I have been fortunate to have had firsthand knowledge of all of this so that I can write about it for others. Suddenly, the entire scene changed for me and I was standing somewhere else without Paul or Rebazaar. I was in a place I knew I recognized. As I was trying to get myself to recognize it, then I heard laughter. You silly surfer dude, you got lost in all that time travel stuff again, didn't you? And you forgot about me, said Ursha as I turned and saw her sitting on the bed in our treehouse and looking at the view. I guess I really did, miss. Was I gone long? I asked. No, not really, because what you have experienced so far is only a wisp of time, if anything at all. Besides, I can bring us into any position in life I wish, and so can you, but you are always on the adventure, and so I have to keep an eye on things for us. You do remember now when you went into the view and went back with Rebazaar and Paul to those events, so that you could write about them with your physical body, which you are wearing out very fast with all the workload you put upon it, she said as she giggled. Oh, that body. When it goes for good, it will be great, because I like this part of my life so much better. I don't want to go back there at all in that awareness. I already know that Paul was the same way because there is no freedom on the earth, I said. I like you here with me, too. It won't be long before there are big changes on the earth, and maybe there will be those who will read your books and wake up to the real guides. Come and sit with me, and we will watch the things you and Paul went through with this episode with Rebazaar, she said as I sat with her. As I watched the view, Rebazaar led us through the many areas of the lower astral realm. Just a second. I gotta make sure this is working. Okay. And as he did, he would explain, those who rule also make the rules, and primarily for themselves. In the past, such as the formulating of the U.S. Constitution, there were certain measures put into play to help the common person. But as time and events went on, so did a mass of corruption. When you come into play with your new presentation, Dwayne, the earth will be in such a straitjacket with enforceable laws that it will be almost impossible for a person not to break some kind of rule, all of which is to corner people into a perfect submission. The authoritarians have planned for centuries to have complete control of everyone, along with their emotional and mental state, because the gods of men must have their share of the prize from where they sit. There is no mistake about any of this. All the new laws and rules will be justified in some particular and creative way, and many of them will be cloaked through the various systems of authority, so the public will not even know they were enacted. Here is an example of cause and effect in action, as all the players in these scenarios will continually return to perform their unaware roles until such time when they have had enough. Then they will each start their own journey into reality. So all of this education is so the two of you will stay clear of all the traps that have been laid for the unaware, he said. We already see this taking place today, Duane. This is what we have went over for years, so that you are very aware of the complete takeover of the populace. Technology today is one of the major ways people are trapped. There can be many useful tools, but there are also huge amounts of hackers who invade the systems, along with governments who spy on their own people. Again, all of this is based upon fear. The authoritarians are more afraid than most people because they want to make sure they have control and others do not. What Rebazar is showing you is all the tap lines people develop from mainly their fear. It is the most useful and treacherous element used by those who want what others have. Going back to the cowboy and Indian days, people had more of a struggle with surviving, yet they had a whole lot more freedom to live a cleaner and natural life. Rebazar and all the real guides took full advantage of their lifestyle in their times, so they are completely free from the earth today, said Ursha as I listened. I watched as Rebazar took us back to his hut. Now, everything including the cow god of this realm is the narcissist. The unconscious beauty in the minds of minds. It is the natural instinct of the Kalam force, which is also what we call the influence, to act and to exploit the ego. Exhibitionism is the external law of what is called evolution. Autoscopy, narcissism, and exhibitionism are the motives for all the movements throughout this realm. Even the genius, the most non-adaptable, who is always at war with his environment, is a great peacock, a show-off, and a self-loved individual. The principle that exists here is that whatever exists on this level desires an audience. In everything, including the cow, the desire to be seen and loved is most prominent because it is a position of need and not reality. Everything and everyone desires to tell his story, including the real guides, when they are working from the psych realm. And this is the reason for the two of you. There are two sides to everything here. And we use the creative aspects of this lower realm to provide a real service instead of being self-indulgent with what the ego and mind can grab for itself. This is self-realization and all the knowledge of the psych realms below reality. You, yourself, are the supreme one in this realm. In your own way, you are the cow. You are matter and reality. And so, being more matter than reality, you are mainly the cow. You are always strutting before the pride of humanity that dominates you. Your modesty is a secret, self-kissing exhibition in the mirror of self-love. Love yourself, says the law of nature. What I mean by this is, love your soul and you love the cow. The metaphysical basis of exhibitionism is the strange and incomprehensible inner urge of expression, which is tied into the no-thing realm of time and space. Theology expresses this urge for exhibitionism. Philosophy expresses it as no phenomenon, becoming phenomena, exercising an illusion in nothingness. Cal invents mirrors. The spaceless seeks space in which to move and survey. For space is the ballroom, the peacock alley of the invisible. Curse the cow and you are cursing yourself. Praise cow and you are praising yourself. Thus the cow, which all mystics and priestcraft oppose, is the inventor of the theologies, cosmologies, and divine events, with peals of laughter ringing from his throat at their ignorance. Even Buddha, who drew the sword against life, came to teach the world that there had better be no world. His cameras were the eyes and ears of his disciples. Many seek to become the supreme exhibitionist. Strip away the mask of all earthly dictators, and there you will find Cal, strutting like the peacock. Strip away the covering of the mystic, and you will find the same thing. Even Jesus was the boldest of peacocks that annihilated the yoke of the meek and lowly and said, look at yourselves, you too can be as I am, a god. Therefore, I say that in this, the world of space or nothing, there are no principles and laws except those of the cow. There are only the exhibitionists because the world has made them so. Principles, theories, ideas, are the masks of the innate craving of the ego's vividness, blown to bits by the winds of the nothing realm. I can only show you that space doesn't exist. It is all in the mind of man. And if he continues to see it as such, he will live far too long on this earth. That's a little bit of one of the new books by Duane the Great Writer that are available at lulu.com, or if you get a hold of Kelsey Lynn Brown, you can get PDFs of them. There's projects in development that everybody can become involved with, like the whole solar research vessels and the Nations United Universal University and the homeschooling and the total universal rainforest projects. Anyway, I guess I'll end the show today with the new song, New